This is Daim Shabazz of the Chess Realm. We're in Atlantic City, New Jersey, the Millionaire Chess Open. It's actually 3 o'clock in the morning. I just got finished having a little something to eat. I'm here with Grandmaster Pontus Carlsen, who is actually going to be leaving tomorrow. How did you enjoy the tournament here?
Yeah, it was great. You know, I mean, it's always a pleasure to play something that is organized by Maurice and Emily. I really enjoyed it, and I think they are doing a really good job. Trying to get the chess players to adapt to this millionaire chess stuff, which is more resembling to poker actually than to chess.
So what are some of your observations of the tournament, and maybe some suggestions you may have for going forward?
I think actually they should target the gamblers, you know, because this tournament is it's for gamblers, you know? I mean, the ones who play chess and poker. If you target those, you should create some open tournament next to it for all the people that doesn't want to have a high buy-in. And you can actually charge a higher buy-in for the targeted poker players. Because they used to pay buy-ins, you know, like 10 times 10, as much.
10,000.
Yeah, 10 times as much as is here. You know? So there would not be a problem for them, you know, if you have like $1,000 or something like this buy-in. And so you saw it also when you were in Vegas, you know.
Right.
You had more players, higher buy-in, but more players. And it's a bit the venue, of course. I mean, Vegas is more appealing than Atlantic City. But it's also for gamblers, you know. They're used to it. They don't care if it's like $500 or if it's $1,000, you know. For them, it's usual stuff, you know. They just want something well-organized, you know. Play some poker together with chess. Excellent for them. That's what they want. And if it's also in Las Vegas, they're in heaven. So those ones, they will be willing to come.
So what you've known about Millionaire Chess since the beginning, but what made you decide to play in this one?
I'm not sure if I should say that one. Let's be honest there. There was a chance that this might be the last edition, you know. So that's why I came, because I wanted to show my support.
Good.
And also there was possibility to sort out the dates, because the last two editions it was impossible because I was working.
So this, are you playing often? I know that I've been in contact with you over the years, and I mean, you have periods where you're doing more. You have some students now, but in terms of playing, are you playing often these days?
No, quite rarely actually. But I try to get in some tournaments, you know, per year, and this is one of them. Usually the big ones, you know, like Gibraltar. I play a lot in the Arab world when I play nowadays.
In the Caribbean, you've played?
Yeah, many years ago, but Arab world. It's usually because they are, you know, new tournaments popping up all the time and good stuff.
The Qatar Masters.
Qatar Masters, fantastic tournament, you know.
So what did you like about that tournament?
What didn't I like? Yeah, I mean, you know, yes, this fact, you know, where that Zlatan Ibrahimovic comes there, you know, with his team, you know, and we still keep our suite and they stay in some other place. Yeah, I mean, the conditions were incredible, actually, for chess.
So is that just something that we could maybe take a lesson from?
Take a lesson. You know, every culture is different, you know. So but I think that, you know, the chess community needs to ask themselves the question always, because it's about those corporate sponsorship, you know, attracting corporate sponsorship. But you need to ask yourself, what's in it for the sponsor, you know? What are you getting? That's the most important question. And I think chess community is always missing out on this one. You know? They ask, I mean, we need the sponsorship, blah blah blah. But the sponsors want to know what's in it for me. What do I get from sponsoring your tournament? You know, and that's the first thing you have to think about, you know, before you are even speaking about attracting corporate sponsorship. They don't want to do it, you know, to do it, you know. I mean, you can have some mecenates or something like this that are doing this stuff, rich guys that love the game of chess. But I mean, corporations, you know, I mean, they want to earn money on it, you know. Mm-hmm. They want to increase their brand reputation or the brand value. Or, I mean, they want to get something back that they can measure. You know?
But some of the corporations, they like to use chess as a metaphor for strategic thinking and
exactly,
good planning.
You know, I mean, so you should always go on, like, you know, venture capitalists and stock market companies and investment companies and these kind of things that can actually use chess, you know, as a metaphor, a beneficial metaphor for what they are doing, you know. With Sweden, for example, we have those strategic funds.
Right.
Perfect, you know, we can market them, you know, with the Swedish champion, for example. And then we say that, okay, this is what the brightest guy in Sweden is doing, you know, is investing in these funds, and that's extremely good for the fund. So they are happy to sponsor, because it actually validates the fund, gives them more credit.
Now tell me something about Sweden. You were doing some projects there, and you had you sent me something about the televised match.
Yeah,
what was it?
Doing a lot of stuff. We had like a big match with Grandelius versus Sam Sivian. It was a lot of viewers. It was like 313,000 viewers, which is not so bad for Sweden that has only 10 million people. Mm-hmm. So it's good, good numbers. And many non-chess players, because we were playing with heart rate monitors, and the audience loved it, you know. And I'm sure that is the future of chess.
There's so they were able to see when the heart rate increased.
Yeah. They could see the curves and everything, you know, what's going on and so on. So mm-hmm. So some people just follow that, you know. They don't know anything about chess, but mm-hmm. they just follow this. And those devices will come in November. From the company, so then I expect that to be, groundbreaking.
So it was televised, but in terms of being able to watch chess on television, that's still an issue. But you said it was successful in Sweden. What do we have to do to make chess more watchable?
Heart rate monitors.
Not faster chess.
You need heart rate monitors.
That's the solution.
Yeah. Heart rate monitors, you know, because faster chess is of course interesting also, speed chess, mm-hmm. but heart rate monitors, because then you need to make it more simple for people, you know, to understand. Because if it's too difficult, you know, and that's also the prejudices that people have, it is too difficult, and then you know people are more reluctant to view it, you know. But for example, if you make it more simple to people, as you're doing with heart rate monitors, everyone understands it. He's nervous.
Right.
He's
right.
In trouble. You know, I mean, it's like really, really easy. And it gives them a dimension, because then they can check the curves, they check the game, they get explanations, you know. And that's what they have done in Norway. You know, they have enormous, you know, I mean, the viewers of when Magnus plays is crazy. They have 4 million people, you know.
4 million?
Yeah, 1.5 was watching. When Magnus played like, with Anand, you know, every day, daily. Mm. 1.5 million. It's almost half the country, you know. And you can imagine how many of them that are non-chess players.
Right.
It's, you know, that's how we should do it, you know.
So we're kind of in this internet age where you have all these broadcasts, and Millionaire Chess didn't have it this year. They didn't have the live broadcast, but... where do you see chess going from here? It's in terms of
you have to find the business people. You have to go to understand. You know, I mean, guys like Maurice, for example, is business minded. You know, you need to have a lot of this kind of guys to be able to do it. And then you can never forget this question: what's in it for me?
So it's
the most important question. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's where all chess tournaments, all events have to start. You know. What's in it for a sponsor? You know? What do they earn on sponsoring your tournament? Mm-hmm. If the answer is nothing, you know, then stop doing it.
Right. Well, I know that is this your first time to the U.S.?
Yeah, it's first time in the U.S., yeah.
And you met Maurice, finally. What was that like? Because you all have quite a bit in common.
I would say, you know, Maurice is 20 years older than me, but honestly, I think when he looks at me, he probably sees himself 20 years ago. we're very, very similar, you know. Mm-hmm. Slight differences, of course, in personality, but not that much.
Right.
We're quite similar, I would say.
Well, he's done quite a bit, and he's done chess in all phases. I mean, he's been a coach, he's a player, he's organizer.
He's done it all, you know. So that's why I'm saying we're quite similar in many aspects, you know, I would say. Mm-hmm. Even look-wise, I think.
Right.
So it's a lot of similarities, you know. So, of course, we have... we have actually had some online... relation we can say, because we are like talking online, mm-hmm. and have been doing so for years, but we are never met, you know, because he retired, you know,
right.
before I was active, and I never play here, mm-hmm. and he of course never plays in Europe, so we never met, you know.
Right. And you did meet one other player back years ago, Emery Tate.
I'm
writing a book, as you know, about him.
Yeah.
What was it like meeting him? I know he's very different from...
He's very different from Maurice, you know. Maurice is like, it's like meeting myself 20 years ago. but Tate is different, you know, a totally different personality. Yeah, it's not... I like his playing style, you know, because he was very creative. But that's also what stops him from becoming GM, I think, a bit, you know. Always trying to create some brilliant surprise and so on.
Right.
It doesn't work like that, you know.
Yeah, he played more for the art, more so than...
He's an artist, you know? I mean, painter, more or less.
Right.
But not didn't want the point, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to go for, you know, if you want to become GM, you know. It doesn't matter if it's a boring endgame or whatever
right.
it is. You just get the point. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't his style. Yeah. So you're leaving tomorrow. You're going back to Sweden.
Yeah.
And so you're going back to... I know you've taken at least some inquiries about lessons. How did that go this term? And I know a lot of people were asking you. You had some cards you were passing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing online coaching. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, of course...
Excuse me.
The thing is, of course, that a lot of people are interested in it. What can I say? I mean, it's like I have a lot of champions right now. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people that are doing very well. I just got two more Swedish champions now. Yesterday, or actually today, Sunday, they won the Swedish championship. Two of my kids that I'm training. Mm-hmm. So it's going really well.
So how many students do you have in the States?
In the States, I have also some students, yeah. What do I have? I have like six of them right now, of different ages and different levels. But some good ones, yeah.
Tell us the name of the website and where we can reach you.
You can, if people are interested, you know, in online coaching, then it's easiest is to go to my homepage, PontusCarlsson.com.
Is that one word or the hyphen?
Yeah, it's one word with a bind between Pontus and my last name. Mm-hmm. So Pontus bind Carlsson.com. And it's there you will find everything, you know, samples of the lectures, and you can see how it looks like and why you should take it and so on, you know.
And they also can read, they if they need a reference, they can just read some articles on the chess drum as well.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really, I think the webpage is explains it all, you know. And it's good, you know. I think it's very important nowadays to have a teacher, because it's too much literature out, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah,
and
the databases.
The worst thing is the club players, you know, usually don't understand how they're gonna incorporate, you know, all this literature into their own play, because mm-hmm. it's too much right now. There's too many sources, you know. And many sources are terrible, actually, horrible. Right. And the thing is that if you learn from those sources, your foundation, you know, is wrong, wrongfully. Yeah? And then you make conclusions after that one, and that is the biggest problem nowadays with cloud players. You know? They make their own conclusions all the time, even if they have 1,200 in rating, they make their conclusions, you know, like they were GMs, and the conclusions are just wrong. Mm-hmm. Because they read some book, you know, the bad book, and interpreted the bad book and incorporated it into the game, you know. Mm-hmm. And it becomes terrible. I've seen so many cases of this. And I think it's because the literature now has exploded, you know. Right. There's so many online sources, real sources, whatever. And no one is like saying this is good, this is bad, you know, this is what you should read. So I think, you know, that's why you can see a clear increase in the demand for lectures, you know. Mm-hmm. I get many, many inquiries all the time, you know. So
good.
I turn down some of them that I don't like. So I always accept, only accept, you know, people that I see that really wants to improve and are willing to put in the effort, you know, because you can never improve without putting in the effort.
Well, we're going to, that'd be my last question. And again, for the audience, they can go to Pontus-Carlson.com.
Yeah.
They want to contact you and get more information, you know, for lessons. But I always enjoy spending time with you. It was 8 years. I think it's 8 years since I last saw you in Dresden.
Dresden.
It might have been Dresden.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's always a pleasure. And have safe travels back to Sweden.
Yeah, I'll see you around. Take care.
All right. This is Daim Shabazz, and we're signing off in Atlantic City.